Thank God. Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Praise God. God is so good. He is just so good. All right. So we just started talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith, and we just barely touched into step number five, know the reality of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Know the reality of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Just hold your finger there. I think we'll start in 1 John 4. 4, it's familiar, but let's turn over. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6:16, and turn over to 1 John 4:4. And then why don't you go ahead and find 1 Corinthians. 6 as well, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. So that's 2 Corinthians 6:16, 1 John 4:4, and then 1 Corinthians 6:19. We'll start in 1 John 4:4. Everybody there? All right. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God. You believe that? Are you of God? We are of God. That means we come from God. We are part of Him. We are of God. Like you are of your parents. That means you came from them. They came down from them. You're part. We're of God. That's a good thing right there. You could just stop there. We could just camp on that the rest of the night, and we could, and then we would be blessed. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. It's talking about every spirit, the other spirits in the world. It says, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we're talking about the reality of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The reality. The fact that the Holy Spirit really does dwell in us. And that will buoy up our faith. That will make our faith strong. If we believe that, if we walk in it, if we act like it, that you have the third person of the Trinity in you. And he's in me. That makes all the difference. Now let's look at these other scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, for you, the second part of it says, for you are the temple of the living God. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'll read that again. It says, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Thank God. God no longer just, he doesn't dwell in man-made structures. He dwells in people. That you and I, we're the temples of God. We're the temples of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Now, we just read three scriptures. Those aren't the only ones, but to that effect. God, the greater one, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And we read that we are the temple of the living God, that he will dwell in us. And then we just read that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Thank God. We have to become more God-inside minded. I don't care if you've heard this 20 times. It does you no good, it does me no good, unless we become conscious of the fact that when we are facing the trials of life, that God is in us, he's with us. For real. When you are facing the thing that looks to you impossible. Now you may acknowledge it's not impossible, but you might as well, when you're looking at it, you say, I don't know how it's going to happen. Yes, I know somebody could make it happen. I know it's possible, or I've seen it in the Bible that things have happened, but I don't see how this is going to change for me. Or even if you just come up against something that's just, you know, not impossible, but just not fun to deal with. Have you ever had something like that? It's not like it's life or death. It's not like it's impossible, but it's just not fun. And you'd rather it just go away or be corrected, but you have to deal with it. Has anybody ever dealt with something like that? Yeah, if you've lived long enough, you've dealt with something like that. Well, so there's a few ways you can deal with that. One way is just to complain about it and hope it goes away. How many people, that strategy has worked for you so far? You've complained about it and hoped it went away, and there it just went. So, you know, it's the cover up and grumble strategy. So you put your head under the covers and get irritated with the thing and hope that when you take the covers off, it won't be there anymore. We could call that the ostrich strategy. You think that, how many people does that work for? No, it doesn't work. In fact, it just makes you more upset. It just gets you irritated. Well, it's still not there. Darn. Now I have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. And it's still not fun to deal with. Ah, it's there again today. Why don't I just go away? Darn, I can't believe I have to deal with this. Why do I have to deal with this? It's just been there. Why do I have to deal with it today? And you go to sleep. You wake up. Still there. Got to deal with it. So you can go through any number of days like that, right? And your problem is doing what in the process? I mean, I'm not saying, yeah, certain things you just wait it out and okay, it could go away. Again, like somebody said, just totally disconnect this from Bible terminology. This is just a natural saying people have said, hope is not a strategy. In other words, if you just hope, and they're using hope like I wish. So if you just wish things are going to go okay, that's not actually a strategy. That's not a plan. Well, I just hope everything will go well, but I'm not going to plan. I'm not going to try to make anything. I just hope it'll. So like somebody said, hope is not a strategy. It doesn't just, things don't happen just by hoping. And when you say hoping, you're talking about wishing. You're not talking about Bible hope, which is more expectation. So just by you thinking, well, I sure hope that changes. I sure hope such and such, you know, just they wake up, they're different, or this problem, it just goes away. I just hope that bill just goes away. How many people that's worked for you? I just hope it goes away and it went away. I'm talking about faith. I'm just saying, you know, I just wish it would go away. No, it doesn't. So that doesn't work. But if you're in the middle of it and you start really realizing that God is in you. Now, God is not upset about any problem that you or I have. He's just not. He's not ruffled in the slightest. You could hit him with your best shot. If he were up here tonight and we all lined up and we just said, okay, I'm gonna give him my most horrendous story. I don't know if his expression would change or not, but I can guarantee he would not be upset. If you told him something, he wouldn't go, man, that is so bad. I don't blame you for staying under the covers, because that is I would be under the covers. That is horrible. I would stay in bed too. You keep up that strategy. I don't know what else to do. I don't see any other way out. You just do that. Keep it up. Next. Can I talk to somebody else to see if I can help you? God is not going to be surprised by your pain in the neck, so-called, that you have. It's just so bad. Nobody could deal with this, right? So there's only one way to answer it. You might as well complain about it because you just can't actually deal with it. He is not like that. So if he's in us, now does that change the ball game or not?
Yes.
Is there anything, let me put it this way, is there any problem that he can't do something about? That he is powerless against? Or that he doesn't know how to make it better? Is there anything like that? It doesn't exist. So if he is in us, and remember we read, we are of him. And he is in us. And he said we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of Almighty God. If he's in us, now you come up against a problem. You know, it's not the irresistible force meets the immovable object. You know, stalemate. God is irresistible, and there is nothing that cannot resist him. There is nothing immovable when you're talking about him. It has to move. We have scripture for that, right?
Yes.
Mark 11:23. And if you say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever things you say. A mountain. It said, if you say it and you believe it, it's got to go. Well, God, he spoke the worlds into existence. When he told the fig tree to die, it died. When he told the storm to be still, it did. When he told somebody to rise up and walk or to come out of the grave, like Lazarus, it happened. He has never met something that he said, well, I can't do something about. If people will believe, there's nothing that's impossible to him who believes. Why? Because who are you believing? God. And there's nothing impossible with God. With man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So you got to, are we dealing with man or are we dealing with God? If you're dealing with man, yeah, there are some things that are impossible. Now, it was impossible for Jesus to walk on the water, but he did it. But it defies the laws of physics. But he did it. So with man, that is impossible. But with God, it's not. So with man, some people will say, well, this is impossible. Yeah, as far as you know, as far as our knowledge and maybe mankind's knowledge knows, it's impossible. But we're not talking about mankind's knowledge. We're talking about God. And if God said it's possible, now when it says all things are possible to him who believes what? That doesn't mean you just can't make up something. You can't just make up and say, well, I choose to believe this. No, if you're believing something, somebody told you something that you're going to believe. So if I told you I'm going to pick you up at 4 o'clock on Saturday, you say, I need a ride to such and such, and said, well, I'll come and pick you up. What time do you want me to be there? 3:30. Okay, I will be there at 3:30 at such and such a place, and I'll pick you up, I'll give you a ride. Now, if you would have the right to believe that I would pick you up. Why? Because I told you I would be there at 3:30 at such and such a place, so you can believe that. So that's possible for you. Now, something could happen, my car could run out of gas, something could happen, or I could slip my mind and I could fail you, but God will never fail you. Now, you could not do this. And get this, because this is what people do. They think, well, all things are possible for God. So, people do this with God just like it would be if you did this with me. You didn't talk to me. You had something you needed a ride to. Let's say it was at 3:30 on Saturday, but you didn't ask. You didn't talk to me about it. You just said, I'm just going to believe that Jim's going to come pick me up at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. I believe he will. I know he wants to. He's been good to me in the past. I believe he will be there. Do you have any grounds for believing that? No. Now, could you wish it? Yeah, that doesn't make it so. That doesn't help you. And if you're standing out there, I don't care if you had your best clothes on or whatever you're going to, you know, whatever you had that you're supposed to have, you're all cleaned up and everything, and you did everything, and if you confessed it all week, it's, I believe, it's going to be there at 3:30, but you had no grounds for it, you're out in left field. There is nobody, could be at home hanging out or taking a nap or whatever, and 3:30 comes and goes, you'd be like, I cannot believe that he did not show up. Why? Why are you so surprised? I never told you I would do that. Right? Do people do this with God? Yes, they do. Well, I'm going to ask God to do this because after all, he can do it. It doesn't matter what he can do. Did he tell you in his word or through his spirit, which would always line up with his word, that he would do it? See, that's what you can believe and believe and take it to the bank that he is going to do. And that's what you can grab onto and say, this will happen. I don't care if it's impossible with man. God has said it. I believe it. Therefore, it's going to happen. That's what you can believe. And when you're talking about God, then yes, things that were impossible with man, they become possible. So if you know you're doing something that God told you to do, you come up against an obstacle that you know God has promised that he would take care of, and you know, you believe you're in God's will, and you're where you're supposed to be, and you've checked up, and you say, yeah, I'm doing what I know to do. I believe I'm supposed to be here, and this is God's will to take care of this. Now you can know that God will, and you can know that Almighty God is on the inside of you coming up against that problem, and you know it's his will to move it out of the way, and he's not out there somewhere, you know, across the universe. He is in you. So when you get in the middle of the situation and you show up on the scene, he's there, and he is fully willing to help you do what it takes to move that out of the way. Do you have a visual? You come up against that thing. Now, you wake up and that thing is there. But it's not just, I hope you go away. You're convinced and you know from the Word of God and from His Spirit that this thing, that it's God's will for that thing to leave. And that it's got to be corrected or it's got to get better. You don't just pull something out of the air, but you believe that it's God's will.
for you to live in health. Or it's God's will for you to have all your needs met. It's God's will for you to prosper and to have favor. It's God's will for you to live in peace in your home or whatever. And so you come and you wake up and you say, God, that's there, but you're taking the part with me. Lord, show me how to act. Show me what to do. Show me what to stand on. Show me how I know what your will to do this. Now, what's the step? How do I walk it out? Don't just pull something out of the air. Well, I heard this person say this, and this person say this, and this person, and I'm going to roll it up all in a ball, and I'm going to do all of it. I'm going to hit it with everything I got. Well, is that what God told you to do? Do you think God, every time he comes up against something, says, I'm just going to let him have it with everything I have? Is that what Jesus did? Did he? No, if you look, he did something different almost every time. Why? Because he was led by the Spirit of God. If he would be like some word of faith and charismatic and whatever you want to call what we are, grace, faith, charis, whatever, word, spirit-filled, you know. If you were to take some of people, they would take all the different people that they've ever heard and say, okay, now I'm confessing and I'm laying hands and I'm binding and I'm doing whatever and I'm fasting and I'm just letting the gifts flow and I'm just going to give it everything. That's not being led by the Spirit of God. That's not really believing that you have God Almighty on the inside of you ready to attack this. This is more like, I'm going to pull every lever and push every button that I have. You know, if I have my phone here, you can't really button mash with a touchscreen phone. But, you know, if I had buttons here and I just went and I'm like, I want to do a task, but I'm just going to start hitting everything and hope it gets done. And I come out and say, is it done? Well, I don't know. I got all these characters on my screen. I've opened 15 apps and I just don't even know what's going on. Is that the way to get something done on your phone? Do you think God's... Is that the way God operates? No. You know, what if a surgeon was coming in to do, let's say, God forbid though, you needed surgery, and it was brain surgery, and he said, I'm hitting this with every tool I have. We're going in, I'm getting the job done, and I had an appointment 15 minutes ago. I want to be out of here in 5. I want to get this done quick, and he just, give me that, and we're going to hit it at the same time. Do you think that'd be a good idea? I don't either. It could look pretty bad when he was done. Do you think God, when he comes up against something, said, all right, let's just hit him with, we're going to use this and that and everything and pull and push and confess and bind and loose until we get it done. You're just pulling everything apart, you're stabbing. No. He says, the Spirit of God comes and says, do this. And it just like razor slices right through it. Huh? Boom. Do you think you need 15 words from God or one that'll do what you need? Do you think God knows exactly what you need right now? Yes, you do. You know it. So if you know he's in you and he is there to be your helper, like it says in John, that you would give us another comforter, one of the words, one of the meanings of that is another helper, then we have him on the inside of us taking hold with us against the problem. Do you think that problem has a chance of staying if we believe that and we act on that? Does the problem have a chance against God Almighty? No. Well, who's in you again? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is where? In us. So if you come up against something and you know you're supposed to act against that problem and you know it's God's will, then you are acting with the power of Almighty God against that situation. That will put you over, that knowledge. If you come in your own strength, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just have no clue. I've never seen anything like that. Okay. That's the method where you just cover up and hope it goes away and I'm going to complain and I just hope I feel better. You're not going to feel better if you do that. You're going to feel worse if you do that. Or you can come up against it and decide that you're actually going to believe what we talk about and believe that God is actually in us now in the middle of it, not just at church. That he's actually taking hold with us against the problem, and he has an answer that will cut that thing in two like that. We just have to look to him and get the job done and believe that he knows how to get it done. Do you think that would buoy your faith? Do you think that would make a difference in our lives if we actually took this at face value? How can you be timid against something when you know you have the Almighty God? Even us talking right now, I mean, it's just starting to dawn on us even right now. Barely. And we're not just the God, you know, we've heard it so much that it doesn't register who we're talking about that's in us. Just one little blip of his power just can, you know, wipe out anything. We created the universe, and he's in us. And we're going off so many times looking for somebody that's got the power. We have the power. Any Christian has the power residing on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Thank God. You've heard me tell this story, but it never gets old. For some of you that heard it, or just mention it, that these missionaries, I can't remember, I know her name's Jeannie, I think, but they're in Panama. And they were talking about how the witch doctors, this witch doctor got saved, and he did know the power of the devil, but he got saved. And he talked about how when they would see a Christian walking through the jungle, they would, in the darkness, that it was like there was a light coming out of them and emanating out of them. And it was the power of God. And they said, if they only knew the power that they have in them, then we had no power against them. These witch doctors on the other side, they could intimidate people and scare people as long as they didn't understand what was going on. That's just like the devil. That's what he does. But he said, if this Christian that was walking down, I mean, they got this glow, this power. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. You're born again spirit with the Holy Spirit empowering you. You're coming down, and so many Christians are walking around going, I don't know what I'm going to do. And if they could see in the spiritual realm, they're a walking powerhouse. The power of Almighty God is walking right with them, and they're like in the middle of a situation. Just imagine. Maybe you don't have to imagine too much. Maybe you thought about it yesterday, or you just got out of it this afternoon. You know you're in the middle of some situation, or maybe right now you feel like you're in some situation, and you see yourself as just you, instead of seeing yourself with the Holy Spirit in you, with this glow, with the power of Almighty God resident to help you against whatever it is, to move it out of the way, to help you, to put you over, to be more than a conqueror. See, we quote that, Romans 8. More than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And then we're just like, come up against something, it's like, I have no clue. And we go running to people, trying to get an answer. And all the while, we have the mighty Holy Spirit of God Almighty on the inside of us to help us to do and to come against whatever it is. But we're going, oh, I got to get a little bit more Christian TV. Nothing wrong with Christian TV. But I'm just going to watch this, and maybe this guy will give me a word so I can really overcome. I get an anointing that's going to put me over. We already have an anointing that's going to put us over. The Bible says we have an anointing. You know all things. We already have an anointing. We already have the Holy Spirit. You already have the answer. We just have to believe it and act on it. Act like it's true when we don't feel like it's true. Act like it. Act like the Spirit of God is right there and ready and willing to help us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. He said He would be in us. He said He is in us. He said, I would be in there. I'll be among them. Well, that's now. That was, say it, looking ahead, but now that's now. That's what, if we were to see in the Spirit right now, we would just see a glow. Every one of you, when you walk out of here, when you're driving in your car down the road, if you were to see in the Spirit, you're seeing a glow going along. Now, you can choose to believe it. You can choose to believe that He's there with you, or you can choose to believe the circumstance that's bigger than what you have. And this is where the battle comes in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Praise God. Did you guys go home? Did you guys leave? Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Well, if I were in the middle of China, if I were in the middle of Africa, then I would have to believe. Well, I mean, you know, I would really have to rely on God. That's nonsense. You can rely on God now. Well, He moves in different ways. Some, you know, for mission. No, I mean, He'll move right here. Well, I just don't feel like He's anywhere. We just read the scripture that He said He's in us. Is that scripture or not? Are we going to act like He's in us? He didn't say, until you feel like I'm not in you, then I may have gone out for a bite to eat or something. And if you don't feel me there, that probably means I'm gone. You just wait till you feel better. That means I'm back. Now you can fight it. Now you can fight the problem. He didn't say that. He said, in the middle of life. He just said, I'm in you. So that would count for everything, right? He didn't qualify it. He didn't qualify it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.